It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don't we always sit down? Have you ever done a show standing up? Every show is a sit down. Happy New Year, everybody. January 1st, 2023. Yeah, we are back once again. Back is the incredible rhyme animal, the untouchable. No, I just changed the lyrics. Just when you change the lyrics, I change the questions. I have to. It's one of those days, everyone. I am here. I prepared a double espresso and was going to have some leftover cannoli from yesterday. I prepared a double espresso. I go in the refrigerator, and even though I took the cannoli, last night I wrapped it in paper towels instead of the original box so it wouldn't get mushy, and they fucking still got mushy, man. I had to throw them out. So I actually snuck in a little Entenmann's chocolate. And because I can't have a double espresso without, like, an Italian pastry, I don't know if you could see it, but I turned it into a peppermint latte, double espresso with some peppermint latte attached to it. So I'm trying to wake up a little bit. Did not go to sleep until around 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning. Got up early. And, yeah, we're here to do the sit-down. So I hope everyone had a wonderful Happy New Year. You know, I don't know individually for a lot of you how your 2022s were, but I truly think 2023 is going to be a kick-ass year. I mean, I know this channel is primarily wrestling related. In the world of pro wrestling, 2023 is going to be awesome. I mean, really, how can 2023 be bad? Yeah, really think about it. I mean, you know, people ask me off and on, compare the Monday Night Wars to what's going on right now. And the best way I can kind of phrase it is, if you really insist for me to compare the Monday Night Wars to 2022, I would say it reminds me of 1995. Now, of course, we didn't have anybody jump ship, you know, the next day showing up or 2 days later showing up on AEW television like Lex Luger did on Nitro. But it kind of reminds me of 1995, you know, WCW, you know, not too long, you know, once they had Hogan a couple of years and, you know, starting the Monday night deal and being a little bit unprofessional, I think, to an extent, and WWE maybe kind of just winging it. Now, yes, we now got Triple H at the helm, so I'm very curious to see what 2023 has in store. You know, we brought up a couple of predictions yesterday, some with the Royal Rumble. I know there's going to be some roster changes, not only on WWE side, but on AEW side. I think Tony Khan, and, you know, this might be a plus. I don't like using individual wrestlers' names for examples, but I'll throw it out there, even though this is not prediction news or anything. But if you think of people like Miro and Andrade and others, Tony Khan is not necessarily about trying to maximize the ratings. If that was the case, you wouldn't see his decision for certain people in the main event. You know, I mean, no disrespect to members of the Dark Order, but when you got a member of the Dark Order main eventing Dynamite, you say to yourself, okay, look, I like John Silver, but should he be closing? His mindset is more put one of the biggest matches at the beginning of Dynamite because you get that extra oomph from the Big Bang Theory. So Tony Khan is more, as long as the networks are happy, you know, the ratings don't have to blow the roof. I mean, when they do blow the roof, you brag about it. But in the case of WCW, you know, it was more about trying to put WWE out of business. Tony Khan knows he can't put WWE out of business. So if Tony Khan is not obsessed with ratings, not obsessed with trying to get the biggest numbers he possibly can, I think he realizes, the fuck am I spending this money on Miro for? Why am I spending all this money on Andrade for? Yeah, he's injured right now, but still. Like, why am I spending all this money on people that are, you know, if they go to WWE, are they really going to change the ratings? Cody Rhodes came. I don't see any rating spike because of Cody Rhodes. My God, let's be honest. Triple H at the helm is now the owner of, what, the lowest rated Raw in history outside of a holiday? You know, what does that tell you? I mean, so I think Tony Khan is going to start realizing more and more, why am I keeping people that are not going to put my company out of business if they show up on a competitor? And I think that's what you're going to see in 2023. I think a little bit of maturity on Tony Khan's side as far as the promoter, not the man, you know, the promoter. I think you're going to see that in 2023. So, all right. No, so Fly, you look at the month of ratings with Cody before and after. Really, it did not spike. I mean, you had a little increase, but very, very little. A spike, look, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, maybe tomorrow what I'll do is I'll look at, I'll put up the ratings a month before and a month after, and we'll look at them. You know, you got to understand, too, it's a little unfair because think about, you know, the time frame. You know, we're leading into WrestleMania, so of course the ratings go up during WrestleMania season. You know what I mean? I mean, Cody came in a couple of months before, but still, we're going into, well, actually, no, you look at, well, let me say it like this. Let me clear this up. A month before Cody came in, it's the road to WrestleMania. So those numbers were going to spike. Cody debuts at WrestleMania the night after WrestleMania, which is the Raw. That number always spikes. So you really got to look at Raw 2, 3, 4 weeks before WrestleMania, 2, 3, 4 weeks after WrestleMania. Not the week before, not the week after. We'll look at it. We'll take a look at it. But I believe me, if they spiked, there would have been news headlines everywhere. So, all right, so the sit-down, very simple for those that might be new. Every Sunday night, I show up with a blank piece of paper. You know, well, this will have to do. The other side is the tribute, the wrestler tribute. You know, I got a really beautiful email. I don't want to say who it was, what wrestler they represented, but I got a beautiful email today from a family member of one of the wrestlers who died in 2022 and doesn't tune into the shows, but saw that we paid tribute to everybody who passed away and tuned in and was very, very touched by, you know, going out of our way to mention everybody. And, you know, I don't do tributes to the deceased for any clout or anything like that, but it does feel good that in some indirect way we made someone feel good as well. I mean, look, some of the names that wrestled in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, none of us, for the most part, have ever watched or even known. But when you talk about wrestlers who, you know, may have not have been a household name, who died in their 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, that's unnatural in a lot of ways. And some of those wrestlers dying in very early age was tragic. And, you know, the person who contacted me is a relative of one of the wrestlers who died very young. So, you know, I thought that really touched me today. So if that person by any chance is tuning in, I really appreciate it. I mean, I responded already via email, but so on Sunday, what we do, and today we're only going to go an hour. We did two shows yesterday. We got a Q&A coming up this Thursday. We got Wednesday Night Dynamite, Monday's post-Raw show. We got Patreon on Tuesday. There's a lot of shit coming up. But what I'm going to do for the next hour is I'm going to sit here, and you are going to dictate what topics are discussed. If you're live in the chat, just write in capital letters the word question before your question, so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, just write in capital letters the word comment. As always, Super Chats are never required, but they are very much appreciated. They help, and they will always get VIP priority attention. And with that said, Sticky Fingers Frank, he sent the 10 spot earlier before the show. Happy New Year, DT. Quick question. Sasha Banks' profile is still on WWE.com. Is she a free agent or not? It's funny. On Twitter, as of an hour ago, both Sasha Banks and Mercedes Renato are trending on Twitter. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in the world of pro wrestling, where two different names, the real wrestler's name and the character name, are trending separately on Twitter. I'm not kidding. I've never seen that before. I do find it cute to see all these wrestlers' news sites. Oh, today officially. You know, when you got to write reportedly, appears, they don't know for 100%. I mean, her profile is still on WWE website. Honestly, my honest opinion, it's the holiday weekend. So I don't think it was top priority that at 12:01 a.m., January 1st, 2023, you remove Sasha Banks from the website. So I say it's holiday weekend, and that's probably why she is still listed. Look, she's doing outside things. She's going to be doing some outside things. She's going to get some major paydays. She is checking off things on a bucket list. You know, one thing that I will say, I'm not anti or for her. You know, I'm a wrestling fan. I think she is better in wrestling than not in wrestling. But I will say this, you know, if you notice the climate the last couple of days, there is a huge Mercedes Vernado, Sasha Banks fan base that is trying to do this, and this is what turns me off. They're trying to push this narrative that Sasha Banks is now free, that Sasha Banks is away from the evil WWE. And I do not believe there is this hate and animosity between Sasha Banks and WWE. Not at all. And instead of wrestling fans just excited to see, as a fan of hers, what she does next, they're trying to portray this narrative that, you know, WWE evil. We can't even call her Sasha anymore. Like, if you truly are a Sasha, a Mercedes fan, you do not call her by her WWE name. She is no longer Sasha Banks. She is Mercedes Vernado. She's Monet Banks. Monet Banks, not Money Banks, Monet Banks. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. You know, you like Sasha Banks, you like Mercedes Vernado, you like Mandalorian, you like whatever you like of her, just appreciate her. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to try to enhance her value by putting down an employer. They don't know. They don't know. So honestly, you know, I think it's just because it's the holiday weekend. So Fly is in the house. Oh, by the way, I want to give a shout out to our elite family members here, our elite channel members. The list has been updated. I checked it once. I checked it twice. Some of these guys may be naughty, but they are also very nice. These are our channel members. I want to do it early. Give a little early love. So Fly, I think you are on that list. Question, did I get your email about Ryback? He won his name back from WWE, and he's planning a comeback. Will AEW sign him in 2023? Excuse me for a second. I muted my mic so I could cough. I don't like coughing on shows. I think that's disgusting. And you know why I coughed? That freaking little bite of Entenmann's cake right before I went live. Remember, little advice for some of you out there. You ever do a podcast, never drink milk, never eat dairy right before you go live. It builds a phlegm in your throat. I don't care who you are. It builds a phlegm. And when you start talking and shit's vibrating, you know, you start, you know, getting little tickles and everything. That's what just happened to me. I didn't get into the Ryback thing because I thought it was for the mailbag for Thursday, but I'll be more than happy to answer it right now. I do not believe AEW signs Ryback. I think because of the perception that Ryback is evil online, some people even try to label him a Republican. I don't care what his political affiliation is. We talked about Ryback on the New Year's Eve show as well. Ryback is Ryback. You know, he walks to the beat of his, he walks to the beat of his own drum. He does his own thing. And He says things, he stands behind it, even if it's not popular. He is not very liked by the everyday folk as far as people in wrestling. So he's one of those that I think Tony Khan sees online and he's like, oh no, oh no, we're not bringing him in. That's just my opinion. No, I don't see him going to AEW in any way, shape, or form. As far as him making a comeback, cool. It's not a bad wrestler. It's just that Ryback, when you see his physique and you see what, you know, what he is, he's not going to give you a three-star match. You got to use him a certain way. So if he makes a comeback, good for him. I just don't know where he's going to end up. I mean, really, where is he going to end up? I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. That's my honest take on that. Yeah, no, yeah. John, I agree with you. AEW would be tripping if they signed Ryback. You know, I'm not criticizing Ryback. No shade whatsoever. But no, AEW, there's a few people online as far as wrestlers that you just know AEW wouldn't go near. He is one of them. So, all right. Even if he was brought in as a bodyguard, you realize how much politically correct backlash AEW would get for that signing? And honestly, let's be honest, they don't need him. They don't need him. You know, they have some big boys there. You know, the problem is they don't seem to utilize the big boys very well. You know, let's be honest, look at all the big boys, you know. That's why, believe me, that Los Angeles show, Hobbs has to make a huge fucking statement. They better have something huge prepared for Hobbs, that Los Angeles show. You know, last week, yeah, we didn't see nothing about him. Somehow he was walking in the streets and somehow got lost. You know, you don't do vignettes and then you keep him off TV for 2 weeks. So if they're going to do that in L.A. and have him get... Look, for all we know, he could get involved with Moxley and Hangman Page. We'll see. Michael Gonzalez, as of right now, who would I say is the favorite to win the Women's Royal Rumble? Ha-ha! Oh, that's good. Double espresso with a little peppermint bark, a little steamed milk. Came out good. Becky Lynch. Man, would WWE dare troll the fans and have Ronda Rousey win it? No. I think Becky Lynch wins it. You know, I think that's the easy way to go. Think about it. Think about it. Becky Lynch wins the Royal Rumble. She shows up on SmackDown, teases a match with Charlotte Flair. She shows up on Raw, teases a match with Bianca Belair. It's the perfect person to tease both shows for a month. Now, we may get the announcement of who she wants to face a week later. I think Becky Lynch, either opponent, I don't think anybody would have, opponent, I don't think anybody would have a complaint about. So I'm going to go with Becky Lynch. Oh, believe me, Rhea Ripley's, if they do Elimination Chamber for the other women's title shot, Rhea Ripley will win the Elimination Chamber. Honestly, I'd rather see Rhea Ripley win the chamber. Look at her size. Look at her, you know, presence. Do you want her to win by tossing someone off the top rope? Or do you want her to win in a fucking chamber? Think about that for a minute. I want Rhea to win the chamber and Becky to win the Rumble. Charlotte's not going to win the Rumble and take the other belt. We're going to get away from the era of unified championships. Look, I think unified championships were inspired because of COVID. That's honestly how I feel about it. I think because of the lack of touring, I think because of the cut of rosters, you know, wrestlers, a lot of people were released during COVID. And I remember the early days, oh, that's horrible. You fire people during a pandemic. I'm not defending Vince or WWE. Just use logic. You're a billion-dollar company. Your investors invest in your company because they think the company's going to make money, not because it's kumbaya. What a beautiful boss. Let me put $10 million in that company. He's such a nice guy. That's not how it works. WWE saw the writing on the wall. We're not closing up, but we have to have a shell of a roster. We don't need 150 wrestlers when we can't even tour and have fans in attendance. So we have to cut our roster. And guess what? The investors kind of liked it. Not because they're cold, not because they want anybody to lose a job, because they understand that a publicly traded company has to answer the bottom line. Not what a soft snowflake podcaster feels about it. And that's the facts. That's the truth. So I think the Universal and the Unified titles were designed that we didn't need two divisions of heavyweight title contenders. We didn't need two divisions of tag team title contenders. We could cut those rosters down significantly, push certain group of people, and we'll get by. That's what it was, in my opinion. So there ain't no way they're going to start unifying women's championships now, since we're getting away from the unified heavyweight universal tag team titles. So, all right. Happy New Year, Capita Great. Hypothetically, if Wardlow were to be brought into WWE, how would he be first feud? Who would be his first feud? How would he brought in? Be brought in? Could he be brought in as a bodyguard? You know what I'm thinking, right? When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut. I could see them bringing him in as the bodyguard for Miz. Miz had Ciampa. Miz had other people. Miz has got Bronson Reed. Yeah, I could see that. I could see Wardlow coming in as a bodyguard for some chicken shit character. I'm not saying Miz is a chicken shit. I appreciate Miz. But I could see him brought in as a bodyguard. Could you just see him there? I mean, Wardlow's not bad on the mic. But if you really break apart and examine some of his promos, they don't make sense. They really don't. I mean, think about that promo. You know, I see what I read online, and people think that, you know, I don't this, and can't get that, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everybody online thinks you're awesome, you know, for the most part. Like, he just would put these things like, there's doubters. I see the noise, the doubters, and I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, like, even Wheeler Yuta. Remember when Wheeler Yuta cut a promo like a month ago? I don't remember what the topic was. I think it had to do with the Jericho Appreciation. So, I know what it was. When they were in the back, and it was Wheeler and Claudio and members of the JAS, and Wheeler Yuta starts cutting a promo and starts saying these things that sounded great. And then you think about it, like, is this guy brain dead? Like, didn't even fucking make sense. Just because you seem angry doesn't... And it was kind of funny. So I could see that happen with Wardlow. Man, maybe 2024 is Royal Rumble. Maybe he shows up in the Royal Rumble. That would be a fun, easy way to bring him in. Speaking of memorable Royal Rumbles, AJ Styles, one of my favorite Royal Rumble surprises in recent years. He posted on Twitter yesterday or the day before that he has a broken ankle. Does not require surgery, but he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. Don't know if he'll be back in time for WrestleMania. You know, it's a broken ankle, especially when you're a high flyer. You got to be really, really careful. Especially as, you know, he doesn't need surgery. It might be a hairline fracture, but he just cannot put weight on it. He's got to be really careful. So, you know, I don't know if he'll, you know, miss a substantial amount of TV time. He could still be in the corner of the OC. But, you know, I don't know. But that's a little bit of a blow. So, all right. We got Saul Ruka question from Brian Hunt. Thank you for the 5-spot, my friend. Much appreciated. What are my thoughts on Saul Ruka? He thinks she has a lot of potential. Who could I see her feuding with first in NXT? You know, when Saul Ruka first started appearing on TV and she had a match, only visual, she reminded me a cross between Charlotte Flair and Michelle McCool. Like, she's got that blonde. I'm not saying that Charlotte Flair looked exotic, but Sol Ruka has a look. And, you know, she has that look that she just looks like she's going to be a huge star. And I thought that she was going to come in with a bang and have like a decent winning streak, you know, maybe beating names that are not really high in the food chain. But they had a job out, you know, several matches. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, so Sol Ruka, I buy in on. She definitely has the look. She is damn talented. She's still green as the Super Chat font color. She's got a way to go. Who she feuds with right now? Nobody. Nobody. It's not a cop-out answer. Right now, I think she's got to be on that roster for at least another 6 months before you really invest in a feud. I don't want her to just show up with Kiana James at a bar and just stand there and look pretty. Like, I don't want her to just, like, be in the sideline and, you know, a couple of people are talking smack in the back and she's shown laughing and then it's an Acme Insta feud. I don't want to see anything like that. I think you bring her out there, you let her do a thing. She wins some, she loses some, she starts putting it together. Look at Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton will be back in a week or two. Whatever that event is. It's the 10th. I think it's the 10th. So she comes back the 10th. And anybody that watched NXT the last 2 years, last 12 months especially, she started putting it together. And when we first saw her come out there, it was like, you know, she looks good, but I don't know, will she ever put it together? Now a year later, you're like, holy shit, she actually is pretty good. You know, so Sol Ruka, I think, is where Tiffany Stratton was a year ago. But she definitely has the tools. She just needs experience and time. Time and experience. And when someone says to me, well, isn't that the same? No, it's not the same. Because I bring up AEW, for example. You see some more on the women's side. You got some women in that company for 3 years. That's time. Then you look at their matches, and they're not fighting anyone that seems to be able to dictate them and work them through and tell a story and help them, you know, tell a story. It's usually just squash matches on dark. I don't care if someone is 37 and 11. You look at the list of opponents, you're like, oh, okay, you know. You know what I mean? So time and experience are two totally different things. Can't catch a break. Just subscribe. Welcome to the family. Can't catch a break. Kishan, Ty Conti got worse. I don't know. I really, you know, I'm not crapping on Ruby Soho, but I have to reiterate what I said Wednesday. You look at where Ruby Soho was, and you look at where Ty Conti was. Ty Conti still is learning. She is in a high-profile position because she ended up being the evil wife of Sammy Guevara. Like, you know, Sammy broke up with his ex-fiance, and Ty came in there, and, you know, you can't turn that down. You got to put her in that position. But watching Ruby going like this and waiting for the chair, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. You have to realize that the person you're facing is still very inexperienced. And when you go like this, before the person even starts tossing the chair, what I saw Wednesday was all Ruby Soho, in my opinion. Yeah, Ty Conti is still, her timing is off. But that's where the pro comes in. And Ruby Soho, I think, is the one who has taken some big steps back. And it looked awful. I mean, there's no excuse for that. And again, the sad part is that 99% of people out there will just turn a blind eye to it. Oh, you know, no, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. Mike is asking me about the AAA issue. I'll talk about it Wednesday with Sammy Guevara. You know, it's funny. We were talking a few days ago that give it a week. Dax Harwood is going to be public enemy number three. Trust me, I'm already thinking in my mind how I'm going to Photoshop Dax Harwood at that that all-out media scrum table with the, you know, with Tony Khan sitting next to him. I have to, because I did the Andrade one. We had the CM Punk one. Now we got to put Dax. But with the buzz starting to come out, give it a couple of days, everyone. Now you're going to start hearing that Tony Khan and AAA are not in good terms at all. Especially the sausage that I put out yesterday, that AAA and WWE may announce a working relationship very, very soon. The Triple H is the one behind. No one's talking about it. We talked about it yesterday. And the thing is, you know, now you have Dragon Lee, who is a WWE contracted wrestler for NXT. He defeated, he was one half of the team with Realistico. They defeated FTR for the AAA tag titles last week. FTR is an AEW wrestler, AEW contracted wrestler. Last week, a WWE contracted wrestler pinned and took a title from an AEW contracted wrestler. And now you hear the rumblings that WWE and AAA may be working together. So now people are saying, oh, Tony Khan is spiting AAA by not having Ty Conti, Ty Mello show up, by using, you know, the excuse that he gave them about Sammy Guevara, which we'll talk about Wednesday. So Tony Khan and AAA's relationship may have thinned and simmered out pretty quickly. So, all right. Krishan is asking, does Kenny Omega book the women's division? As far as I know, he is heavily involved in the women's division. Heavily involved in the women's division. You know, the problem is they don't get very much time in a two-hour period. You know, they get some time on Rampage, but, you know, it doesn't feel like, you know, that they're invested. And look, I've said it a thousand times over. As much as people hate when I say it, a promotion is not required to put women's wrestling on TV. You know, when you see, I mean, Brian Last, Jim Cornette bring it up every week, that the women's segments on Dynamite always have a decent drop in the numbers. And yeah, that is something of concern. Whose fault that is, I have no idea. But the point is that if AEW feels one women's match for Dynamite, not two, not three, but one for the most part, that's their right. If they feel that women's wrestling does not sell or draw as much as men's wrestling, that's not a sexist comment. It is a business comment. So if AEW wants to continue, you know, minimizing the women's division compared to the men, that's their right. So Kenny Omega is heavily involved, but you know, he's got a lot of responsibilities in AEW, not just women. So, Crestman, what's going on? Do I think WWE will do a premium live event in Mexico in 2023? The Estadio Azteca in Mexico City could hold 80,000. I don't know what the security risks are in Mexico City. I've heard that there is concern, security risk. I don't know if they would actually hold the event there. Yeah, it's definitely doable. It's possible. But that would be a lot of prep. Do I think they'll do a premium live event? I'm not sure. Do I think they will do an event in Mexico in 2023? Yeah. Listen, if what I put out there yesterday is true, of course WWE is going to be appearing in Mexico. Absolutely. And let's see if it comes to development. Let's see if it becomes official. You know, I think that's pretty awesome if they announce a working relationship, a little forbidden door. So we may even see wrestlers from WWE facing wrestlers from AAA. I could see Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar, those two guys right off the bat, Legado del Fantasma, and there are other Latin wrestlers that WWE has. Absolutely, you could do a forbidden door. WWE versus AAA. I think that would draw a lot of attention. Charlie Conway, Idaho situation thoughts. What, that crazy college guy that murdered four people? It's a messed up situation. We've got a lot of sick people in this world. The thing that fascinates me about that story is, didn't he like take classes and he was like writing on social media, like asking people? I think he got so fascinated about, you know, crime and murder that he decided, you know, I got to do it and see what it feels like. It's sick, sick, sick shit. Unless there's something else going on in Idaho that I'm not worried about. Wow, that came out really cold. I didn't mean it like that. Not that I'm aware of, not that I care about. I swear that was not on my mind. Do I feel he's guilty? Yeah. You look at the Sonata. Look how they traced him. You know, people need to understand, for all of you aspiring criminalists out there that want to do something like on the streets, understand something. You might attack someone, rob someone, you know, drive-by shooting, whatever is on your mind. You may do something like that, and you may have the block scoped out. No one has a Ring doorbell. Nobody has a security camera. Oh, everything is a perfect scenario. I could do this. The problem is what happens when you drive two blocks away and the boulevard has cameras? Especially, oh, I'll do it 4 a.m. No one will see me. That's even worse because they look at the security cameras from 2 blocks away, 3 blocks away, 6 blocks away. And they look to see what vehicles are on the road at that time. So it is very, very difficult to get away with shit like it was before, you know. And as years go by, it's going to get, you know. And for me, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. You know what's weird, everyone? Wasn't it like 10 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, that a lot of people were claiming that their privacy was being invaded by having street cameras? Do you remember that controversy? I mean, think of the world we live in now. Honestly, between me and you, I'm fine with the cameras. You know, you think somebody is looking at me and I'm walking down the street and my shirt is partly up and my stomach is like leaking out of the bottom of the shirt. You think somebody in New York City security is looking on a camera going, I want to feel safe. I like security cameras. Yeah, I still have a tummy. I still have a tummy. But I can still fit in an XL. I can still fit in an XL. This is an XL. So it was funny when Manscaped, you know, by the way, the show's brought to you by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY, get 20% off your order and free shipping. When they sent me a nice little gift package early on, you know, try the stuff out. Because I told them, I said, look, if I'm going to push anything, I got to like it first. All right, we'll send you some things. Tell us what you think. Believe me when I tell you, friends, people have sent me things to advertise. And I said, I got to try it first. I got to like it. Because I'm not going to plug anything that I personally don't like myself. I don't want to say what companies there were, but two food companies sent me their food. Man, I want to say one of them so bad because so many podcasters out there advertise their food. The food prep. Hey, I went through the stove and look, everything is perfectly prepared. I swear to God. Let's see. Who we could call out of here? Let's see. Who could we? We got. We don't want to disrespect Ty Mello. I don't like Orange Cassidy, but a lot of you certainly not going to desecrate a Brody Lee card. All right. Yeah, since we talked about Jaron Silva before, pretend this is a nice piece of chicken. And this food company sent me this meal kit. And they're like, here, you know, try it out. If you like it, we would love for you to advertise it for us. And they gave me a nice offer, you know, as far as, you know, what I was going to make. And I followed the instructions perfectly. I stir-fried everything. I made the chicken dish. It looked perfect. I took pictures of it. I swear on my mother, I took pictures of it because if it was good and I was going to start plugging it, I was going to actually show footage of me making the shit. I bit into the chicken, and this is what it was like. It was like, the fuck? It's like biting in a rotten pussy lip. It was horrible. I threw it out. And I was like, listen, you know, I don't think it's like, you know, for me. I never plugged it. It was just awful. It was like biting in a chicken-flavored rubber band. I'm like, what did you do to these animals? And I'm not trying to be graphic here, but you ever hear the stories that animals are not treated well? And then when they're, you know, slaughtered, they stiffen up. I mean, you know, that's why I always want to be a vegetarian, but unfortunately, there's just not enough variety for me. Believe me, you say to me, hey, DT, why do you think I got so fat in my life? Because a lot of times I don't like to eat meat. So what do? Instead of salads and tuna fish, and I even feel bad for fish. I swear to God, I feel bad for fish. I don't like fishing. I like taking the boat out, but I don't like fishing. I got so fat because I'm like, okay, I'll be a vegetarian. I'll eat pizza and pasta all day long. No joke. But I'm like, what did you do to these animals? I said, my God, it was like stiff. It was like biting on rubber band. How we even got on this, I have no idea. What was I answering before? I'm trying to go back. I'm trying to see. Oh, no, we were talking about, wait a minute. How do we go from premium live events in Mexico to that? I have no idea. Did I ever think about getting into the grocery business with my dad? Yeah, I used to work with my father. I can't work with my dad or my brother. We butt heads too much. Even my brother, when my brother took over, my father started pulling back because of health issues more than anything. Like I would say to my brother, I would say, hey, you know, why don't you get some, you know, some products imported from Italy? I said, the neighborhood is still predominantly Italian. You can't find a lot of Italian items. There's places online where you can get the shit next to cost and put some, you know, real imported stuff from Italy in the store. My brother's exact words to me, I don't tell you how to do insurance. Don't tell me how to do grocery. So, okay. So the last time I worked for my dad was 1988. Rocky Red. I've been saying how my grandmother was a Hulkamaniac. How would she have been when she reacted when Hogan returned in 02 and had his second run? She would have loved it. She would have loved it. She would have been so devastated when she formed the NWO. She formed it. When Hogan formed the NWO, she would have been devastated. But I think as time went by, I think she would have fell back in love. And understand this too. Hogan was in WCW up until 2000. So him showing up in WWE in 02 was not that far off. So it's not like he would have been gone for 7-10 years and then came back. So she still would have cared. And let's also remember, you know, Hogan was still active. Now, my grandmother, if she was still alive, funny thing is, I think she would have been 100 if she was still alive. Which, no, she would have been, I think, 95 if she's still alive now. When she died in 91, she was 66, I think, or 65, somewhere like that. But she would not never learn how to go on the internet. So, but she would have loved it. Brian Hunt. Last night, did I notice that my favorite group from the 80s, New Edition, performed at the New Year's Eve ball drop? I switched to them once during the show. I didn't even realize that. Oh, my God. So while we were, that stream was awful yesterday. You know, I looked for about an hour, you know, earlier in the day. I said, I couldn't do it too early because not every stream was connected, but around 5 o'clock in the evening, I said, let me look around and let me find some streams that are good quality, that have a lot of viewers and are, you know, like more related to the city so I don't have to worry about copyright, even though I was not monetizing in any way. And, the three channels that I got were the ones that were at the top of the list. They were awful. I hate Planet Fitness now. Seriously. I'm going to see if anybody that I'm friends with online, even if you super chat me, if I look in your bio and you have something to do with Planet Fitness, you are getting blocked. I hate Planet Fitness after yesterday. I did not realize that. Man, those performers sucked. That one guy yesterday. And the funny thing is, I swear to God, didn't matter because I was not monetizing, you know, with commercials. There's no commercials on last night's stream. But I actually got hit with a flag last night that, you know, because I played his music for about 30 seconds and it said, you know, like revenue gets paid to the owner. And I'm like, this motherfucker ended up getting me in the ass after all. We ripped him apart yesterday. And he probably got an alert that this show used your footage. And if he clicked on it and said, oh, I wonder what they said about me, he's probably like, yeah, motherfucker, now I'm getting your ad revenue. Enjoy that 77 cents. You know what? I'm almost tempted to go look at some of the performances from yesterday. I used to be a big fan of Duran Duran. But you know what? That song, The Reflex, back in the day, that was played too many times. I mean, every time you turned on around, Hungry Like the Wolf is probably my favorite Duran Duran song. Oh, and that real slow one. What's the name of that song? It goes. That's the only way I could like describe the song. That song was a good one. As you could see, you know, I was an 80s kid. Even though I grew up, you know, in the 70s, but I was more an 80s kid. Duran Duran was good back in the day, but that fucking Reflex song was all over the TV. I used to mix Wild Boys. I don't know, something about the beat at the beginning, I would mix with like my club songs. Now, I probably still have some of the cassette tapes lingering. And if I throw one of those cassette tapes in there, and I have to fast forward it. I don't know how in my right mind in the middle 80s, I think Wild Boys is good to mix with like Alicia. Yeah, it does sound like 70s porn, the way I did that. You know, a lot of people still don't know that the NWO music was originally a porn song. You know, I still have all of the versions still. Here's a little tidbit for everyone out there. When I used to use Tombstone Radio, when I ran Tombstone Radio online, back in the early 2000s, to the mid-2000s, I had a radio station online, Live 365. Does anybody remember Live 365? I had a radio station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, would play wrestling music. And I contacted WWE, and I asked them, is it okay if I play themes? And they said, as long as I keep it under 64 bits quality, and as long as there's no download links, and as long as I'm not selling anything, they let me do it. You know, and again, you know, when I told the story yesterday about Deli Man being, you know, the last person seen on Thunderdome, you know, I don't know who really knows me behind the scenes over there in management, but, you know, little gestures. You know, when I ask, and I always tell people out there that have podcasts, you know, if you want to use footage of something, ask. The worst thing that happens is they say no, or they don't get back to you. Every time I have asked WWE, can I use this? Is it right if I use a few seconds of this? Is it right if I do this? And every single time, yes, just don't do this. Just don't do this. Never had a problem. Just sometimes, you know, when we do the shows during the week and, like, I'll grab a little footage from Raw, what do you think? I'm going to email WWE Management at 10:55 at night on a Monday and say, hey, can I use this tonight for the show? Unfortunately, at those times, there's not enough time to get permission. But when I used to do Tombstone Radio, I used to have thousands of wrestling themes. I still have most of them. But when I was pulling NWO stuff, and I got the original production permission to use it, there was like seven different versions. And I was like, wow, this is pretty weird. And then I'm listening to it, and there's one that was used in a hardcore XXX scene. I don't remember the movie, but that came out on a XXX movie before the NWO used it. I got to try to find, you know what? See, I can't play it on the shows. You know, I'll get hit with violations, but I have the original porn versions in my other hard drive. Pulling it out is easy. That didn't sound right. Pulling it out is easy. I could throw it on Patreon because Patreon, I don't get flagged for nothing. But I'm going to pull the porn one out. And when you hear it, It's pretty wild. I mean, it goes for about 5 minutes, and you just close your eyes and envision a Triple X scene with it, and you're like, oh, my God, that was a porn song. All right. King of Games with the 5-spot. Thank you, King Games. He just wanted to know, is there anyone that I hope personally gets inducted in WWE Hall of Fame this year? Yes. Bam Bam Bigelow. Just to piss people off, Vince McMahon, even though it's not happening. I think The Rock goes in this year. I'm surprised people don't bring up John Cena. It's Hollywood. John Cena hasn't not in the Hall of Fame yet, right? Edge is in the Hall of Fame. Yes, they put him in because they thought he wasn't going to come back. Who did Chris say? Oh, no, he was talking about Duran Duran music. Okay, cool. Definitely not Orton. Definitely not Orton. When Orton, if he recovers, wants to wrestle another 5-10 years. I think at least 5 years, so no. Luger, I wouldn't mind seeing go in. I mean, in hindsight, I'm happy that the wrestling world warmed up to Lex Luger. I still have my hotline reports recorded when Miss Elizabeth died. I still have the police reports. I still have the 911 calls. And you remember WWF Confidential? Remember that? Lex Luger was one of the most hated people in wrestling. He was blamed for Miss Elizabeth's death. And, you know, look, she was an adult. She had a drug issue. She was a willing participant. You know, she unfortunately, tragically died. And I hated Lex Luger also. And, yeah, we were sympathetic for what happened to him physically. But let me tell you something, everyone. Especially back those years when it was much more politically incorrect and you could say things you can never dare say in 2023, people were happy that Lex Luger got so ill health-wise. Like, good, he deserves it. That's karma for Miss Elizabeth. And that was the majority. So to see over the years how humble he has become and how nice of a man he has become and how he is, like asked for forgiveness for his indiscretions and, you know, to see how much the wrestling world accepts Lex Luger. I don't know how many years Lex Luger has left on this earth. I hope it's a long time. But that man should be happy that he is so well received and appreciated. And, you know, because people back in the day, whoa, what an awful wrestler. All visual and all muscles. Good news. And people just found any reason to hate the guy. Sources tell Kevin Milwaukee Stacy Keibler is going in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Stacy Keibler? Sure. Is Tori Wilson in the Hall of Fame? I don't remember. Friends, is Tori Wilson in the Hall of Fame? I personally think if you put Stacy and you put Tori in at the same time. But for some reason, I feel like Tori Wilson is in the Hall of Fame. The problem is people online right now in the chat, with all due respect, they're guessing. We have just as many no's as we do yeses. For some reason, I feel like Tori Wilson was in the Hall of Fame. You know why I feel that she was? Because I remember seeing her, and it wasn't for a wrestling event. I remember seeing her, and I was like, wow. You know, I mean, yeah, we saw her, you know, in the entertainment world, but I was like, wow, she looks incredible. She looked totally different. Didn't even recognize her. So a few people are now saying, yes, she's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I would definitely put Stacy in. Stacy Keibler, listen, she didn't do that much in wrestling, but still, out of all the women that came in that were not pro wrestlers, you know, I thought she did a damn good job. I loved when she was doing the stuff with the Dudleys and everything like that. All right, thank you, Joe. 2019 Hall of Fame is when Tori Wilson went in. So, yeah, I would put Stacy Keibler in. Sure. Absolutely. No issues with that whatsoever. I also hope one day that WWE could work out, you know, a little bit of, you know, work out some of the, you know, the bitterness with Gail Kim. Because I want to see Gail Kim put in the WWE Hall of Fame. I know there's no physical Hall of Fame, but it's just acknowledgement. It's just the fans showing that one last appreciation for everything that she has done. You know, she's very, very quick and outspoken online. And look, even though Vince is not physically in the offices anymore, even though he's been in Connecticut a few times, but, you know, no one has picture proof, so nobody wants to talk about it. But yeah, it is true. Some financial outlets have talked about it. But, you know, she understands that there are other people within that company that are also responsible for a lot of the negativity over the years. So, let's see. Why concerned with Lex? I'm not concerned with Lex. Somebody asked me if Lex should go in the Hall of Fame, and I say yes. Batista. Wasn't Batista supposed to go in and it didn't go in because of COVID? I mean, Batista's got to go in this year, right? I mean, that was weird. You know what that felt like to me? I'm a movie star now. I need lights, big lights in city. I feel like Batista's got to go in. They're going to be in Hollywood. The Hall of Fame ceremony is going to be at a SmackDown. You know, a lot of people don't know that yet. They're not doing it in the building like they did a couple of years ago. So, all right. Let's stop bringing this home. We're almost in an hour. Sounds of the S-Town. Or, as some may say, Sounds of the Stown. Thank you very much for the super chat, my friend. Much love. Hope you had a good new year. And so looking forward for 2023. Charlie's asking, why should we be concerned about Lex health-wise? Have you seen him? Have you seen him? He looks like a frail disabled man who is wheelchair bound. He's got a lot of health issues. You know, the man has got big health issues. You know, that's why you have a little concern. Listen, when I did that list yesterday, 41 people who died in 2022, and I still feel like I left someone out. You know that feeling kind of bothers me because it's like I don't want to leave anybody out, but I'm sure there's somebody somewhere who just got into wrestling and may have been a promoter nobody heard of before. But, you know, I don't want to do this a year from now and, you know, we have him or someone else on that list. So, Joe says, Dutch Mantel said Lex was truly a narcissist. Now he's humble and so. Yeah, I believe that 100%. I mean, listen, Lex Luger was hated back in the day. I mean, I actually thought he was decent in like 89, 90, around that time when he was in NWA. You know, he was still green, but, you know, he had this unknown about him and he had a crazy physical, you know, features. He was a physical specimen and he was he had a lot of adrenaline and the fans clicked. I think people, they took some time and watched some Lex NWA. I think people would be shocked how that crowd would go banana for him sometimes. But as the years went by, I don't know what happened, but it seemed like it went in reverse a little bit. But I don't think he was that bad. But again, I'm glad that the wrestling world is warmed up on Lex Luger. As people have asked me, if he didn't have this health issue, would he be the same asshole he was back in the day? I have no idea. You know, as you get older, you do change a little bit. We don't know. Kashawn is asking me, who is better in the ring, Sid Vicious or Lex Luger? Wow, you know what? You know, Sid Vicious, man, Sid Vicious to me was always like that guy that is so big, you do a couple of power moves and that's it. It's like Big John Studd. Maybe not Andre the Giant level size-wise, but that's a guy he doesn't leave his feet that often. But if you ask me as far as having a full-blown match, I think Lex Luger is a hell of a lot better than Sid Vicious in the ring. And I liked Sid. I enjoyed Sid Vicious. I enjoyed Psycho Sid. I even liked his ECW stuff. His ECW stuff, Paul Heyman. I honestly say this, not just because I'm a diehard ECW fan, but I really mean this. I think Paul Heyman used Sid better than anybody. I think he used him better than anybody. I think Paul Heyman realized this is the only way we could use him. And the way they used him, you know, I think they used him, but I still think Lex Luger was better. Garden of Chaos is watching the best of Mid-South. Enjoy Mid-South Wrestling, man. Out of all the promotions going back to the 70s and the 80s that I wish people would familiarize themselves with to see what, you know, happened before we got your ECWs and you got your Attitude Eras and stuff like that. You know, a little bit of Mid-South, a little bit of Memphis, even a little bit of Florida Championship Wrestling to an extent, but Mid-South, out of all of them, because Mid-South, the three promotions I just said, Memphis, Mid-South, and Florida Championship Wrestling, I think people are familiar with Florida Championship Wrestling more than even Memphis, because Jerry Lawler, you know, he pretty much didn't own like all the rights to everything, so we never really got to see that much of it. Mid-South Wrestling, man, I think if a lot of fans of today that are into the history, you know, I will say this 1,000 times over, no one out there is required ever to learn history. You know, when people didn't know CM Punk's Ring of Honor theme and they were being schooled from people out there, I thought that was awful. So, no, I'm not saying that you're required to know about Mid-South Wrestling, but for those out there that do like to learn a little bit about history, Mid-South Wrestling, go watch some of it. I'm telling you, there's so many hidden gems in there. So, oh, what a loaded question to wrap this up. Kashawn is asking, what do I think is the biggest missed opportunity in wrestling history? Oh, my God. If I had that answer, I would be a millionaire right now. Biggest missed opportunity? Oh, I have no idea. You know what? Maybe some more Forbidden Doors. I don't know. It's almost impossible to say. Maybe more. You know what? I think WWE could have capitalized on the internet a little bit more early on. Not the invasion angle of 01. There was so many contracts that WWE was not going to. Listen. Can I say one thing about Invasion 2001? It is not what I'm about to say. This is, I will admit it, about 90% of you out there are going to disagree with me. But hear me out. I enjoyed Invasion 2001. I know that some major names were not part of it. I wanted Goldberg. I wanted NWO. I wanted Flair and others. I knew we weren't getting them. So this is what people need to understand. And people forget, when we had the Invasion pay-per-view, we knew who was going to be on the card. So it's not like they teased the NWO returning. It's not like they teased Goldberg was going to show up. We knew who was going to be on that card. Invasion, didn't they make like 850,000 pay-per-view buys? Isn't Invasion, outside of WrestleMania, the biggest pay-per-view buy rate in history? So for everyone out there that has always said Invasion was awful, it sucked, the pay-per-view, the whole angle was awful, why did it get 850,000 pay-per-view buys? We all knew who was on the card. We all knew who came in from WCW. Why did it still get that? Check your facts, Twix. If Starrcade 97 had more pay-per-view buys than Invasion 2001, WCW would still be in business. Maybe the biggest pay-per-view for WCW. 800 plus thousand buys. Invasion. But missed opportunity. You know, maybe WWE could have been a little bit more creative with the internet back in the day. You know, I really couldn't tell you. Maybe some Forbidden Door. Maybe a little bit more with charity stuff. You know, maybe some fantasy matches with TNA. Do an event for the raise money for something. You know, you got Tribute to the Troops. You got other things. But I think that there's a lot of worthy causes out there that you could do an event. The problem is egos. Like, who goes over on a match? If you had TNA versus WWE, or if you had WCW versus WWE, I'm sure some individual wrestlers would be like, yeah, I don't mind losing. I don't mind doing the job. It's for charity. But unfortunately, you got the promoters. Shut up! You know, like. But a lot of you that are younger don't know that at one point, WWE hated the internet. WWE did not want their wrestlers socializing online. This was, I'd say, around the up to the mid-2000s. At that time, WWE, I mean, they had their website and they were selling shit, but they did not like wrestlers having websites, having social media pages, MySpaces. They did not like, they did not accept the internet. They thought the internet was a horrible, negative thing. Then they slowly started changing their views. Now they realize that the internet really is, you know, the backbone of everything. Starrcade had 700,000 buys. Why does that sound awfully inflated? But it's still not Invasion. So it's still not Invasion. That sounds awfully inflated. But again, still not Invasion. All right. We're going to wrap this up in about 5 minutes because the shows, the hits just keep on coming. I don't listen. I understand a lot of you out there cannot tune into every minute of everything that I do. I want to start off 2023 keeping the shows as tight as possible. You know, I'm not trying to jip anyone. I'm not trying to be lazy. I'm not trying to pack it in. But if we're going to do 5 shows a week, I'd like for them to be like an hour, hour and 10 minutes. You know, back in the day, we used to do 3 and 4 hour shows, you know, and but we did them once a week. So people would love the 4 hour banger. But, you know, I try to spread it out because not everybody wants to hear NXT and AEW. So we keep that for Wednesday. Not everybody wants WWE stuff. So we keep that for Monday. You know, not everybody wants a mailbag. We keep that for Thursday. Not everybody wants just casual convo like tonight, so we keep that for Sunday. I don't want to cram all of that into 1 4-hour banger. I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't think I miss doing 3 4-hour shows? You know, just sit back, relax.
Sit back, relax.
But it's much different now, and we got to spread it out evenly. So I don't want anybody to be overloaded in 2023. So, all right, now we have a buy rate of 775. We keep it up. Starrcade will surpass Invasion. Look, I have my old articles. If Starrcade did 775, good. They still didn't beat Invasion, though. Invasion only got 750. Listen, Invasion, my point, I don't even care if it got 500,000 buys. My point is this. Then we could move on. And final question. If Invasion 2001 was so awful, why did it get the buy rate that it did? Whether it was 400,000 buys, 700,000 buys, 800,000 buys, 600,000. Why did Invasion end up being the biggest non-wrestling, non-WrestleMania pay-per-view buy rate in WWE's history? Why? We all knew who was on the card. Why did that end up being the biggest? Why didn't people say, oh, they don't have Goldberg, they don't have Flair, they don't have Hogan, they don't have Hall, Nash, they don't have this, they don't have that. Oh, I don't want to see Sean O'Hare, with all due respect. I don't want to see Chronic, with all due respect. You know, people still bought it. They still bought it. Michael is asking, how long do I think Bret Hart would have kept going if he didn't get hurt? I think he could have gone another 5 to 10 years. Bret Hart, you know, put it this way. If Bret Hart got to Sting's age, I don't think Bret Hart would be diving off of balconies. Bret Hart was so technically sound that I think Bret, his in-ring repertoire, I think he could have gone another 5 to 10 years. Absolutely. Bret Hart, I so appreciate what he's done in wrestling. Absolutely appreciate everything. Guy was tremendous. And it sucks how his career ended. I wish there was a way that he could have continued. We got that little brief spurt with the WWE stuff, but still, you know, it ruined the rest of his career. I think he would have gone 5 to 10 more years. Okay. I'm going to jet out of here. So once again, everyone, a very happy and healthy. Oh, wait. Okay. We got one more. It would be very disrespectful if I did not address Rothman's Super Chat. Thoughts on the movie The Wrestler. And how's the wife? She's good. We had a little champagne toast yesterday. We watched a little TV last night, snuggled. You know, that's all we did. We were tired. She was sick. You know, there's a lot of things. The movie The Wrestler, when it came out, I didn't like it. I'm not the biggest Mickey Rourke fan. I don't remember that movie. What was that movie back in the day? Not 9 and a half. Was it 9 and a half weeks? No. 9 and a half weeks. Was that him? I don't know. I just never liked Mickey Rourke. I liked the storyline about the over-the-top, you know, over the hill, I should say, wrestler. I just didn't like Mickey Rourke to watch it. Hear me out. There is a positive with this. Then I saw WrestleMania. And then the interaction he had with Jericho, and apparently WWE soured on the idea of him having a match, so they just had him get a little physical. After I watched WrestleMania and Jericho and the interaction with Mickey Rourke, I watched The Wrestler. And I was like, you know what? I give Mickey Rourke credit. That motherfucker put a lot of work into that character. I thought he was excellent in that movie. He reminded me of Jerry Lynn. I don't know why, but every time I watched that movie, when I saw it, I was like, that's Jerry Lynn to me. But Jerry Lynn didn't overstay his stay his welcome either. So somebody said that they thought it was about Flair. I don't think so. I don't think it was about any individual wrestler. I think it was just about the idea that wrestlers, that all they grew up with, their entire life was pro wrestling, and they can't be without it. And then they leave and, you know, listen, we talked recently about Bam Bam Bigelow. I had the privilege of becoming friends with him. Not close friends, but becoming friends with him. And, you know, I remember, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, I remember the Mance Maniac telling him on the phone, you know, Scott, anybody talks to Mance Maniac, still show him this clip, and he will tell you he's 100% accurate. I remember him on the phone and say, Scott, you know, when you're away from wrestling, you're happy, you can hear it in your voice, you know, you're clean, you're this and that. Every time you come back to wrestling, you know, you have the problems. But Bam Bam Bigelow used to say, but that's my life. You know, I have to be around wrestling. He opened up the burger joint. You know, he did the Florida thing. He wanted me to sell all his memorabilia on eBay back in the day. The ECW ring fiasco, we don't need to revisit that. But The Wrestler movie, to me, was about wrestlers who are past their prime, that are not TV material anymore, and they have to go the indie circuit. They don't know when to quit. You know, I mean, I'm not saying this in a negative thing, but you look at Ricky Morton. You know, you look at some other wrestlers who are still doing it now. Fucking Bushwhackers are still, you know, doing it in some capacity. And sometimes you look at it and it's sad, especially with Bushwhacker Luke, I think, is still doing it. And the reason why it's sad, it's not that they're embarrassing themselves. They're not embarrassing themselves. What's sad about it is when you see them now, it hits you. It hits you in the gut that we're all mortal, that you always want to envision your favorite when they're in their 30s. You know, why do you think wrestling promotions and conventions and other places, when they advertise wrestlers that are now in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, they always show a picture of them in their prime? You dare show a wrestler that's still in the ring now who's 60 years old. You show them that on the banners, and people will be like, oh, God, why would I want to see that? That's sad. Why is he still doing this? So that's why it's sad to watch. Not that they're embarrassing themselves, but it gives you that reminder that at some point we're all mortal. We're all going to be in that situation, that we're not going to be able to do things that we used to. I showed this little wrestle crap yesterday of me managing. Yeah, I could still do the stuff I did before. I could do it 10 times better now because, you know, mindset, physically, I feel better, even though I got some internal problems. But, you know, the fact is, it ain't happening. And I see that, and it gets sad because I'm like, man, I wish I was still doing that. You know, like, I should have never fucking stopped at the time. I should have never stopped this. It doesn't have to be wrestling. It's about anything. Playing softball. I loved playing softball. And, you know, when I had my car accident, it wiped me out. And I've told, some of you saw a couple of home runs I hit when I showed that camping video not too long ago, and some embedded in there was me hitting two home runs in softball. And I'm so happy. I had a tripod. This is the 90s, everyone. I had the tripod behind home plate and recorded the game. And I hit two fucking home runs, and I deleted everything except for the home runs. But I got footage of it. Who would have ever thought in the mid-90s to take a sharp view cam and put it on the tripod and put it behind home plate? This guy did. But, you know, a true story. When I had my car accident in 96, about 3 years later, my friends were all playing softball, and they said, why don't you come down and play? And I'm like, I can't run. Like, what am I going to do? Don't worry about it. You could pitch. You know, you hit a little bit. Don't worry about it. Just come. And I felt fine. And I was taking tons of painkillers, so I felt like $1 million. And unfortunately, my legs, especially my right hip and my right ankle and my right legs, I couldn't push off anymore. And I'll never forget it. I was at home plate. You know, you get to hit like 10, 15 shots before the game. Everybody got 15 swings. And I was at home plate. Now, just imagine this. I'm at home plate. And the guy is underarming, pitching to me, lobbing softballs. And I'm swinging for the fences. And I think out of the 15 swings, I think at least 6 or 7 times I missed. At least 4 times or 5 times I hit it into the ground. And only 2 times it went out in the infield. I looked at my friend. I said, I can't. And it was devastating for me. Because me, I played softball since I was a kid. And to realize, even though I had a car accident, even though I was on painkillers, and even though I felt good, I'm just at home plate. And little meatballs are being lobbed to me, and I couldn't hit the ball. I was so devastated over it. So you watch the wrestler, and it's kind of like, you know, about anybody who gets older that can't do the things that they used to love to do. You know, even me going hiking with my friends in the mountain, I can't do that shit no more. So, Garden of Chaos, I did not check out your channel yet because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't lie. I honestly didn't even know that you had one active. Yeah, I will subscribe as soon as I'm done with the show. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. By the way, before we leave, I just want to say one thing. Little shout out to Mohamed Soria, but I just want to clear something up that happened yesterday because after the show, you know, a couple of things were sent to me from a few people because, you know, I was curious what happened. Listen, Austin Nance, Guardian of Chaos, don't have to do what they do here. They moderate, they keep the live chat friendly and fun. lots of laughs. And the thing is that, you know, when someone pops in that may not be that active and starts writing something about cringe and things like that, you know, it's not that anything negative against Muhammad whatsoever. It's just that there's a lot of haters out there, especially from other podcasts, that will sometimes come in here just to put shit down. Anything that's, why do you all listen to this fat fuck talking? You know, like people will write shit with nefarious just to fuck with the show. And unfortunately, sometimes a comment will get deleted. And it's not because anybody's accusing, but because, you know, you don't know. You don't know. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Rams fan thought that he was banned and blocked. And the thing is that, no, nobody banned and blocked him because Chaos in Austin, if they want to block someone, when it's porn, when you get those porn spam bots come in, that's fine. They don't need to tell me. But anyone else, they'll always send me a DM and say, hey, DT, you know, I think we should ban so-and-so, or, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but, someone's getting out of control. Remember that guy? Who is the guy? Oh, my God. Oh, I know who. Something No DQ. I know there's a website, No DQ, but anybody remember that guy, No DQ something? I don't remember his name. Ken Terminated by DQ. That was his name. I thought he was fine. I had no issues with him whatsoever. He was active, friendly, fun. And then all of a sudden, you know, like few people like DT, you know, I think you should ban this guy. And I looked and I saw him like really like going after some people. And, you know, like I felt bad, you know, but unfortunately it got out of control. So in the case of Rams fan, no, there's security features on YouTube. I didn't set any restrictions. If you super chat, I have super chatted other podcasters when they stream live to show support. And sometimes I'll throw like a word in the super chat and I'll say message cannot be sent, message cannot be sent. And I'm like, did these motherfuckers block me? I'm like sending something to someone, you know, and it's like, and then I realize, wait a minute. Because I put in a curse word in the super chat, like keep killing it or keep killing that shit or keep kicking ass. And it's a YouTube feature. You can't write any curse words. You can't even put a website link. You can't even put like twitter.com or WWE.com or anything like that. Otherwise, the message won't go through. Doesn't mean anybody here stopped you from sending it. It's YouTube has the guidelines. So Muhammad, don't take anything personal behind it. You know, because we get bullshit from people, sometimes, you know, we don't know what is just lighthearted humor. And believe me when I tell you, I will be the first to say, Muhammad, some of my shit was cringe. Absolutely. But no, nobody did anything wrong yesterday. And I think what was done yesterday was the right thing to do. So, you know, that's it. No, I know. No. Deleting what he wrote was fine. I absolutely agree 100%. But I just want, if he's listening and didn't hang out in the chat tonight because he thinks you're not the enemy, but understand why, you know, that happens sometimes. Because when I first announced I was going video 3 years ago. I've been wanting to do it for a long time for various reasons. And it's not about making money. Anybody that's on YouTube knows I'm not making that shit up. But the thing is when I announced it 3 years ago, the one thing that people kept saying to me over and over again is, oh my God, you don't understand how toxic YouTube is. You're going to have so much spam and haters in the chat. It is an awful place to be. You have no idea how much toxic shit goes on YouTube. And it made me nervous. And even after we started, and I watched the chat, and I see everybody having a great time, and I see other podcasters saying like, oh, D DT's YouTube chat is awful. It's toxic. It's haters. It's all this negative shit. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, there ain't none of that. Then I realized it's just people fucking with the shows. But, you know, that was one thing that I feared when I first decided to come here. You know, have a little extension, add a little bit to the shows. I thought, my God, you know, how are we going to keep this under control? And it's been tremendous. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. So Chaos says, I have one of the best chats on YouTube. Look, we don't get trolls. And, you know, I have the setting now. I mean, I don't do it on purpose, but I know sometimes I have the setting that you have to be a subscriber to be on the chat. It's not because I want my subscriber channel to go up to 50,000. I could fucking pay somebody $1,000 from India right now and I'll have 50,000 subscribers. Everybody knows you could do that. I watch people on Twitter right now that have, you know, like things that they're promoting. And you see the everyday tweets get about 5 likes. And then you'll see one and it'll have 500 likes. And then you click on the likes to see who the fuck is liking this. And everything is written in Arabic or Japanese. And I'm like, there ain't no way that 300 of the 500 people that like this are from Japan that don't even speak English, with all due respect. Because you look at their Twitter footprint, nothing is written in English. Everybody they associate with is written in Japanese. You know, right? And then you realize, oh, they paid somebody from Fiverr to, like, hey, boost up my numbers a little bit. Retweet this 50 times. You don't think? I know how it all works. I've had a lot of you contact me privately. Hey, DT, you know, you want to get to the silver plaque? Hey, I'll tell you how to do it. You know, go to Fiverr and pay somebody $1,000. You give it about 2 months. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, you know. But, all right, let's get out of here. So now we're at 87 minutes. Do I check out Click This? Yeah, once in a while. You know, the only problem is that, you know, working the insurance, and it's been awful lately, and, you know, having a marriage and, you know, spending quality time with family, you know, appreciating them as much as you can before they're gone. You know, there's only so many hours in a day, so I don't get the opportunity to watch as much as I do. I do check out some of my friends in the podcasting world. I will browse. You know, I subscribe to all of them. They show up in my feeds, and I kind of like that JD does the shorts now, because I go check them out and I see 60 seconds. Like, okay, I got my fill. You know, I got his viewpoint and stuff like that. I haven't gone to the shorts route yet. And we're going to do more clips. We're going to do more clips. It's just, you know, I wanted to, you know, work on a few things behind the scenes first. But John Vickers says, I won't answer him about James Storm. I will make your question the last of the night. What do you want to ask me about James Storm? Do I like him? Does he make me horny? No, I want to know. Seriously. I'm curious. James, John Vickers is a friend of the family. I hope he didn't really leave. He's probably typing it. You got to give him a few seconds. So, tomorrow night, we have Raw, and it's going to be a big show. I think it's going to be a damn good... I think we're going to get a surprise on Raw tomorrow. Not saying it's going to be Cody Rhodes, but I think we're going to have a surprise at Raw tomorrow. Would I have James Storm on the show? That's John's question. As I said yesterday about BC Amplified, I say the same thing about James Storm or Misha Montana or anybody else. It really is up to everybody who tunes in. You know, the thing is that, you know, especially with the Forbidden Door stuff, they got to mean something. And I'm not going to start bringing people on just to bring them on. And the thing is that, you know, if there's a reason to have him on and everybody who enjoys the shows, I don't care what outside people that don't follow our shit say, but it's really up to everyone who supports the shows. You have the say. So it's really up to everyone. So when we start working on Podcast Forbidden Door, which I am going to start working on in about a week, you know, whatever you know, decide, you know, I mean, some names would never come on. Some names, you know, I don't, I'd be shocked if they would come on. But if a lot of people out there want to see him or somebody else, yeah, I'd do it. But it really comes down to what everybody wants to see. Like I said, I was a little disappointed with the Misha Montana. I brought it up yesterday on the stream. You know, I thought, holy shit, Randy Orton's girlfriend wants to come on. And she wants to clear up a couple of things that's going on online. I'm like, you know, I think that's pretty awesome. You know, not only are we supporters for Matt Riddle, obviously, but, you know, you're getting the answers straight from part of the source. And I said to all of you out there, if you want her on, speak up, post it in the comment section. It wasn't a ploy to try to get 300 comments in the comment section, but unfortunately, about like 10 people were like, yeah, I have her on. I'm not going to bring someone on because 10 people want it. Because there'll be 10 people that'll want Kermit the Frog. There'll be 10 people that'll want fucking Brad Shepard. You know what I mean? So there's always going to be a group of people that want someone. So it's really up to everyone. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your New Year's. We still have about 2 hours left for January 1st, 2023. Definitely post any feedback from today, any follow-ups. And if you had a question that I didn't get a chance to answer, we got the mailbag on Thursday. So go to the community section on YouTube, or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. If you get it in by Wednesday, lunchtime, Eastern Standard Time, then I'll get you in for Thursday. So, all right, if you enjoyed the show, hit that thumbs up on the way out. Much love, and hope to see you all after Raw Monday night. If not, I'll see you next week. Be well, everyone. Happy New Year. What happened?
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it.
Michael Gonzalez says Kermit the Frog would be good. Could I bang one out before we go?
Hey-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and you're tuning into the Don Tony Show. Yay!
Nah, I got chocolate in my mouth.
Hey-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
See, you gotta say it like that. You can't just say here. You got to be
Kermit the Frog here.
All right. No more cutouts.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.